And we're going to start a series today about the spiritual gifts. I know this has been something that I have promised for a while and hadn't gotten to it, but here we go. Now, I've been studying from different places like Systematic Theologies by Wayne Grudem and you know, the Doctrines of Christianity from Millard Erickson and so many other writers. I've been listening to sermons from different pastors and things like that. And there was a particular particular sermon that captivated me by Dr. Charles Stanley from First Baptist Church in Georgia, right, and in Atlanta. And I'm going to use a lot of what he said in that sermon, because it just, as I went and looked at Warren Wiersbe and so many other teachers and seeking and researching this topic, I found like, well, this man put it in very simple terms, and I liked it. So, you know, preachers do that with each other. They kind of copy each other once in a while and steal, well, borrow from each other for a small fee of zero, right? So I borrowed a lot from him today, and not all of it is from him, but I borrowed a lot from him, let me just say. So if you ever go listen to Charles Stanley on the spiritual gifts, and you say, wait a second, yeah, he copied. No, I mean, I copied, right? So just wanted to let you know. I got to do that disclaimer, right? But I want you to think about it. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit has gifted you and each and every one of you, everyone, with spiritual gifts that are perfectly suited for God's plan in your life? I mean, everything that he does perfectly to fit the plan that he has for your personal life, and not only for your personal life, but for your family's life and your church family's life too. Whether you're at work or you're at play, whether you're serving or whatever you do, he wants you to live in that purpose, and he gave you some gifts for that. The tragedy, of course, is that there are so many Christians that live their Christian lives just trying to serve God and wondering why things don't work out the way they ought to be, maybe. Or they think, well, I don't know if this is my gift, or I don't know if that is a gift or not. I don't know if I feel comfortable serving where I am. And so many complaints, and sometimes we miss out on what God has designed us and given us when we were born in Christ Jesus. So people end up living their lives just guessing. I wonder what my spiritual gift is. And they go on a journey of guessing and trying to see. Well, you know, there's no sin in trying to guess sometimes what you need to do and things. I know I'm guilty of that. And if that's a sin, then I got a big problem. But sometimes I'm not sure of things. And I say, well, I guess, right? And you go on that assumption and you try. And sometimes you fail. Sometimes it works out. You guess right. Sometimes you do. But you can't live your life just guessing throughout every single decision. And he gave us these gifts so that we can relate to others, serve one another for the common good of the people. And we're talking about some gifts that, what I'm talking about is God has given you a gift, at least one gift, that is the primary motivator for everything else that you're going to be doing in life. And we're going to see that as we unpack all these things, and you're going to get my drift, okay? So just bear with me. We're just starting. What I'm saying is that God gives you one or more spiritual gifts. But all of a sudden, those gifts that he gives you become the prime motivator for everything else that happens and whatever else you do. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is God. And God, giving us those gifts, he works in the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us to find those gifts, discover them, because they're already there. For example, you see the Holy Spirit working in different ways. Number one, you see the Holy Spirit working in your salvation. When you come and you repent, it's because if you are repenting before God, it's because the Holy Spirit has given you conviction of your sin. You will not repent, truly repent before God, unless the Holy Spirit has worked in you and he's placing that finger there. You know, it's like that little, okay, I get it, right? And the Holy Spirit is tugging at you, and it's the only way you become a Christian. That's salvation. When the Holy Spirit comes at you, confronts you with your sin, gives you conviction of guilt, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I need forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit works in you to give you conviction of sin, right, for salvation. But also, not only he works in salvation, he works in sanctification. I'm sorry, this microphone is giving us a little trouble today. But, all right, so we'll go to this one. So I can't move anywhere, all right? Just be mindful of that. But, you see, the Holy Spirit works in salvation, and he works in sanctification. That means that he's also guiding us and working the character of Christ in our lives. As we grow and we become more like Christ. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? He wants us to grow. And when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, pretty much is the life of Jesus Christ and everything that he did. What he showed. Love, joy, peace, you know, kindness and all that stuff. You know those. So that's what I'm talking, sanctification, developing the character of Christ. And that's what the Spirit does. But also the Spirit works not only in salvation, and he works in sanctification, but also in service, the three S's. Salvation, sanctification, and service. He works in service. How does he do that? He gives you those gifts, those abilities, special spiritual abilities that he gives you in the body of Christ so that you may perform and you may do his good and perfect will for your life and unto others. And the purpose of these spiritual gifts, of course, is that you'll be able to serve God in such a way that he is glorified, that he gets the glory, that all glory becomes his and you bring him glory with everything that you do. And the work of God then goes on successfully as we are also blessed and we bless others with these gifts. But let's go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read a little bit. At least let's read the first seven verses to start. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm talking about? You see, you could have been whatever. You could have been the worst pagan, but you can become a servant of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ becomes your Lord once the Holy Spirit does the work in your life. And then it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You see that? For what? The common good. This is very important. So he has given us, the Spirit has manifested himself in us for the common good. That's very important. Now let's go. Let's define some terms to start with, because sometimes some of these terms, people get them confused. Number one, in the Bible, you'll see that in a few times it's mentioned the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever seen that? When in the book of Acts, many people were becoming Christians, were people being convicted to become Christians. The Bible says that they were, and the apostles talked among them, and they were saying, they have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit, or the gift of the Spirit. What is this talking about when it talks about the gift of the Spirit? The gift, not gifts. Just a gift, singular. It's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit given to every believer upon salvation. That means that when you come to salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to you. Salvation comes with the Holy Spirit, and you've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwelling in your life is a gift from God. His presence in your life is a gift from himself. But then as we look at that, let's go to the next one. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now we're talking plural. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now it may sound just about the same. The gift of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. Now when it talks about the gifts in plural of the Spirit, it's referring to those abilities that God gives you that fit his plan and purpose for your life. He gives you certain abilities that will fit his plan and purpose for your life. So we acknowledge those and we put them to work. And that's what we're going to be talking about all these weeks. And then we have another term, which is the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, You've heard that before. And what are those? Love, joy, peace, kindness, you know, and all that. All right? So we talk about those as the product, what the harvest, what should be seen in your life. After the Holy Spirit comes to you, you get the gift of the Spirit, then he gives you those abilities. And as you exercise those abilities and gifts that he's given you, then people should see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. The character the Holy Spirit intends to build into each life as we submit to him. The fruit of the Spirit is the character that the Holy Spirit is working within you to become like Christ. Now, if you have read the letters to the Corinthians, you know that these people were gifted. I mean, Paul says, you have been blessed with all the gifts, period. You have all the gifts. You have plenty of gifts. You're gifted. You're simply gifted. But yet, he criticizes them. Because even though they had received all these spiritual gifts in such abundance, but they lacked wisdom in the Spirit. They lacked the fruit. And Paul therefore calls them carnal Christians. They were behaving more in the flesh than in their spirit. And when you think about it, so Paul is saying, I see all the gifts in you, but I don't see the fruit. And the fruit should be adorning the tree, right? You look at a tree with no fruit and you know that's a fruit tree, you're like, hmm. When you see all the fruit, you're like, hmm. Right? It changes completely. The same thing happens with a Christian. Oh, you know what? So-and-so is so gifted, but you'll never see him around serving. You'll never see him using that gift. Either he's too proud or he's too shy or he's got excuses or whatever. That's like a tree with no fruit, right? And that's what Paul was talking. You can have all the gifts, but if you don't have the fruit to go with it, then something's wrong. You're not using those gifts properly. But then some people ask, and this is one of the big questions that on Wednesday we were discussing this as we were rehearsing here for the worship. And when I started talking about the gifts among us, we were talking a little bit, and somebody asked, but what is a gift and what is a talent? What do you mean? I mean, how do I know the difference? Because you're talking about spiritual gifts, but then also we talk about talents, and they're different. They're totally different if you think about it. Let me show you how. A human talent is a capability or an ability that God gives you when you are born into this world. Think about it. You're born into this world, right? And, you know, I am inclined to music, right? I play the guitar, I play the bass, not very good, but, you know, that's because of lack of discipline and practice. But I have the talent to do it. Now, here's the thing. Is that a spiritual gift? No. That's something I was born with. That's something in... You know how I know it's not a spiritual gift? Because I know there are so many humans out there playing guitar much better than me for their own sake and for the devil and for whatever reason. They're using that talent. It's a human talent. That's one thing. But then there are spiritual gifts. These are special abilities that you only have because you became a Christian. Okay, so here's the difference. A human talent is an ability that you get when you're born into the flesh, into this world. But spiritual gifts is something that you get when you're spiritually born, at your spiritual birth. When I became a Christian is when God gave me the gift of teaching. I didn't have that before. I didn't have that. It's amazing. I didn't know. Of course I didn't, because I didn't have it. But then when I was born of the Spirit, all of a sudden, this ability that I never had, all of a sudden starts working in me. And I, wow. You see that? And those are spiritual gifts. And of course, now I'm going to leave all my fleshly talents or, you know, bodily talents or whatever, earthly talents to the side. And I'm only going to exercise my spiritual gifts because now I'm a spiritual being. No. God wants us to use both, right? God wants you to use both, all of your talents and all of your gifts that he's given you. They're all gifts anyway because he gave them to you, no matter what. So God desires for you to use them both for his purposes. And many people who are not Christians are very talented. But spiritual gifts are, on the other hand, a specific skill or ability that God gives you at your spiritual birth. In order to what? In order to enable you to comply with the purpose and plan that he has for your life. And those two work together beautifully in order for you to then worship God and serve him and serve others. Basically, what I'm saying is you should use your human talents in light of your spiritual gifts or based on your spiritual gifts. That way you can reach the maximum potential and accomplish all that God has called you to be. All right? Now that we've defined those terms and made it a little bit more clear, I hope, then let's think about the purpose of the gifts. I'm just going to give you three very simple purposes of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, looking in verse 4 and through 7, it says that there are a variety of gifts, but they're all from the same Spirit. Variety of ministries, but the same Lord. Variety of effects, you see, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. See, the purpose is for the common good of the body of Christ. The common good of the body of Christ. See, I'm supposed to be benefiting you with my gifts. You're supposed to be benefiting me with your gifts for the common good. It's very important. Now, if we go a little bit further in verse 11, we're going to skip a few verses and go to verse 11 and check this out. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. See, here's the thing. He wills. Then you will do what he says. He wills. He is the one that chooses what he gives you. He's the one that gives you gifts. You don't choose those. You don't become a Christian and all of a sudden he gives you a list. Okay, pick. What do you want to be? What do you want to do? No, you get them. He's the one that chooses for you and gives them for you. And he knows what he's given you because he knows you better than you know yourself. And of course, they're given for the common good. This means that he's not giving them to you so you can become proud and boast about how much or how great you are in certain field or in certain gifts or whatever it is as an individual. They're all for the common good. It should profit. Your gifts should be profiting the rest of the body of Christ. But not only for the common good, but also to bring glory to God. You see, God doesn't want you to get the glory because you don't know what to do with glory. I know I can't handle glory. Every time I try to take some glory, every time I try to take a little bit of that, I mess it up. It doesn't shine. Glory don't shine on me. But on him, it does. God needs to get the glory. Let me take you to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in what? In serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And verse 11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be what? Glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the what? The glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him belongs the glory, so give him the glory by doing what you're supposed to do, exercising your gifts. And therefore, think about this. If you do things for the common good, that means you're loving on people like you say you love God, right? Because God said, you need to love me. But the second commandment is love thy neighbor. So when I'm showing my gifts and using them for the benefit of my neighbor, I'm actually loving God and loving my neighbor. And then, of course, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Now think about this term, glory, for a second. When you think of glory, what comes to mind? Like God gets the glory. What comes to mind? I don't know if you're like me, but one of the things that comes to mind when I think of glory is like, light shining, like, you know, wow, you know, something's just like God shining, right? Does that come to mind when you think of glory, God shining? Well, that's great, because that's what glory's all about, right? When you put the spotlight on someone and they shine, or at least in the light, everybody can see them. You see, You give that person honor and glory by showing the spotlight on him. You put the spotlight always on God so that he gets the glory. You stay behind the curtain. You do better behind the curtain. Okay? Amen? Hallelujah. We do better working behind the curtain and letting God be on the spotlight. Amen? I think we do better like that. But when you put the spotlight on someone, what happens? Everybody can see him. Everybody can see him. Everybody gets to know him instead of you. So it's to make him known. You see, when you bring glory to God, he is known because he is exposed. He is exposed when he is glorified. If we want Christ to be known, then we need to bring him glory. We need to make him shine in our lives. We need to let him get the credit. We need to let him be made known brightly in our lives, in everything that we do. You know, as you think of some of the gifts and stuff, I know it's going to get a little interesting when we start talking about the miracles and healings. We start talking about tongues and all that. Whoa, wait a second, Pastor. Don't worry. We're going to talk about all that as we go through the weeks when we get a little bit more specifics. But think about this. What about miracles? If you think about it, you know, whatever, tongues, healings, and everything else. What is the purpose of the tongues and the healings and all those miraculous gifts? What was the intention? What was God's intention in doing all of those signs and miracles? Well, let me tell you, it was very simple. To authenticate the messenger. You see, God wanted the people to know that this messenger was for real, authentic, that was proclaiming whatever God was giving them. So God gave them signs and miracles so that when they did those, they could see God giving them, you know, the support. God is right behind them. They come from God, authenticating the messenger. Because you got to remember, in those days, they didn't have the New Testament like we have it today. All these books in writing, they didn't have the book of Acts, and they didn't have 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Philippians, and all that. We have it today. So all we have to do is go to the Word. But they didn't have this. All they had was their lips and their hands and whatever they said. So God did miracles through them to authenticate the messengers and make sure that people understood this is God at work. And so the miracles have this purpose that it is to make sure that people know who the messenger is and that he comes from God. Even Jesus, when Jesus did all the miracles and he healed so many people, why did he do that? Oh, because he had so much compassion and so much love. Yes, but guess what? That wasn't the main purpose. The main purpose of Jesus doing all these miracles on earth so that he could authenticate who he was, so that people knew that he came from God. It's amazing. Now, did Jesus do miracles everywhere? When we look in the Bible, we see that even it says that he went to a certain town and there he did not perform miracles. Therefore, the Bible says the people did not believe. You see that? So the miracles, the intention of the miracles was that people will come to believe in the messenger and trust the messenger. So that's the reason why we see these signs and miracles and gifts that are miraculous. Okay? Those are the purposes. The purposes of the gifts are that we will serve each other for the common good of all, that all the glory will become God's, and when God is glorified, then all people can know him. Amen? Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you, and I'm going to read for you, the passages where the list of gifts are mentioned. Okay, we're just going to read them, and so that way you know where they are, and that way you can start reading them and study them on your own. And as we go through the following 2-3 weeks, maybe 4, talking about these gifts, then you know where to go and where they are and everything. First of all, we see part of the list right there in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 8 through verse 11. And it says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing." Notice something interesting here. It doesn't say gift of healing. It says gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. Interesting. looks like healing comes in different forms and ways, right? I heard that there was a Christian doctor that had a little sign that said, all healings come from God, but the doctors get the money. Because even when the doctor operates on you, when the doctor does a surgery, when the doctor prescribes, when the doctor, whatever, this doctor acknowledged, that's healing from God. God gave us the wisdom to be able to give you that medicine, to discover that medicine, to administer that medicine. God gave us the wisdom to study all these so that you can be healed. But it's, he knew the source, but yet the doctors get the money. But here we go. Let's keep going. Gifts of healing by one spirit, verse 10. And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same spirit work all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So you see a list there that talks about signs and miracles. It talks about healing. It talks about tongues. It talks about faith. It talks about different things, okay? So there's one list, all right? And let me take you to another one in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 4. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all of the members do not have the same function. You see, this list right here in Romans is what many people say. These are functional gifts. These are the functions of the gifts. This is the motivation behind all these gifts. So we who are many and are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You see that? Giving is a spiritual gift. But wait a second, we all have to give. But we're going to talk about the gift of giving. We're going to talk about the gift of mercy. We're going to talk about the gift of exhortation. And at the end of the sermon, which I'm trying to get to the end here, we'll get there. But I'm going to give you an illustration that's going to show you how all of these work. Maybe you can find yourself real quick. So this means that all of them are necessary. We need all of them in the church in order to function properly. All of those that are listed there in Romans chapter 12. How about a third list? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, when you look at these, looks like gifts, but they're more like office positions. The position of apostle, the position of evangelist, of prophets or pastors and teachers. You see, pastor and teacher is kind of put together there as an office. So these are like the categories, right, in which the motivational gifts that I gave you from Romans 4 fall into. And because, you know, you may fall into one of those offices and you may not. But that doesn't mean you don't have gifts. You don't have to be a pastor and teacher or be an evangelist or be an apostle or be, what else is mentioned here, prophet. If you're saying, well, I'm not an apostle, I believe that there are no apostles today. Because one of the criteria to define an apostle was to, you had to have seen Jesus physically after his resurrection. But there are so many out there today that call themselves apostles so-and-so. Wow! I'm amazed. Something else. Prophet. Now, be careful with the word prophet, because sometimes people take it to mean a foreteller of the future. Not necessarily. Anybody who utters truth of God could be a prophet. All right? But we're going to talk about those specific later on. So these are more like the offices of ministry. The ones in Romans were the functions or let's say the motivation behind them. And then you see the manifestations of those gifts and those offices in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But let me give you some cautions here about these gifts. Number one, the Holy Spirit gives a gift to every believer. Every believer gets at least one gift. Isn't that great? It's like when you have little children and you want all of them to get a prize. Not all of them get first place, but they all get a prize. Now, we have to be careful with that. You know, I have my own ideas about giving prizes to everybody in first and second place. Well, but that's another thing. But gifts are given to everyone. Amen? Hallelujah. Everyone gets one. And I'm not talking about necessarily a ministry, because if that was the case, then everybody should either be an apostle or a teacher or a pastor or a prophet or an evangelist. And if you're neither one of those, then you can say, well, God didn't give me a gift. No. Now, those are offices, like I said, and we're going to talk a little bit more in depth in those later on. But let's just say this. For example, let's just say that some of you, women especially, where are the women who work with the children? Who are you? Raise your hand if you teach the children around here. See, one, two, three, four. You see a few of them, five maybe, and you see a few of them. Now, you may say, well, if they're teaching the children, they must have the gift of teaching. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But you're there helping out in the teaching of the children, right? But let's just say, for example, the gift of mercy that is mentioned there. And let's say that you're the person that is merciful. Who is the person that is merciful, that has this gift of mercy? It's the person who has compassion. It's the person that every time something bad happens goes, aw, no way. Oh, no. I'm going to pray for you, darling. You're going to be all right. You know that? Oh, don't worry, sweetie. We got you covered. You see, and all of a sudden you feel like, I'm so encouraged, right? That's a person of mercy, right? But let's just say that you're the one that gets all, you know, mushy when something bad happens to somebody. Do I have anybody like that? Anybody always say, yeah, I see some smiles back there like, yeah, that would be me. Don't cry, baby. It's okay. But you see, that's the thing. Those are people who they have the gift of mercy. Now, in the classroom, let's just say you have the gift of mercy. So when you're teaching children, you use your gift of mercy. How do you use it? When you see one of those children that just doesn't learn as fast as the others, and instead of going, well, you're going to fail this for real, that's not very merciful. But you go and say, don't worry, sweetheart, I'm going to help you. And you're going to do great in this class, because that's what I'm here for. All right? You see, that's merciful. Another teacher will go, have you ever been in a class, especially when you go to college? These professors that think they got it all together, and they come over and said, to start with, I just got to let you know, at least half of you will fail this course. And you're like, whoa, that's the gift of mercy, right? No, he doesn't have it, right? But then you see what I'm talking about? So you think about, and you're going to see these gifts just as you discover them, it's going to be even greater and better for you. But the Holy Spirit gives everybody at least one gift, one gift. One gift. But check it out. No person has all the gifts. That's another thing. Some people think that they do. But you know what? No person has all the gifts. No one can claim to have them all. God is not going to give one person all of the gifts. He's not going to do that. There's only one person that had them all and still has them. Jesus. He had all the gifts. Amen? And if there's anybody you know that has all the gifts of the Spirit, he must have come and I didn't know. Jesus must be here on earth then. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, remember what I said before, that you are to employ those gifts serving others, not to serve yourself. So you are to serve others with your gift. That is your obligation, because the gifts are a grace. It's a gift from God. It was given to you not to cherish it and keep it and conserve it, but to share it. Gifts are for sharing. Kids don't learn that very easily at an early age, but gifts are for sharing. For example, how many of you parents, I'm going to ask you, have at least two children? All right? If you have at least two, Christmas time, do you give your children all the same gift? Well, you get a Tonka toy, you get a Tonka toy, you get a Tonka toy, and you get the same Tonka toy. You get a board game, Chinese checkers. You get a board game, Chinese checkers. You get a board game, Chinese checkers. So that way you don't have to fight over it. No. If you're going to give them board games, you give one Monopoly. You give the other one Chinese checkers. You give the other one Trouble. And the other one you give Sorry. I got that one time. I heard my mom for a whole month of December. I wanted a pair of skates. And every time I said, Mom, am I going to get the skates for Christmas? She's like, sorry, I can't tell you. She did that to me, that woman. She played him. She still plays in my head saying, sorry. She still remembers him. When we get together, we always laugh when she says, sorry. And guess what I got on Christmas Day? Sorry, the board game. Now, of course, she was playing a trick on me because back in my country, we celebrate Christmas and we get gifts on Christmas Day. But also on January 6th, Three Wise Men Day, we get gifts again. So we get a double whammy. I love growing up in my country. You get gifts twice. So on January 6th, guess what? I got my skates. So don't worry about it. See, that's how I turned out all right. But you don't give your children all the same exact gift. Now, you give them different board games, and what do you expect them to do? Each one play with your own and don't mess with the other one's game. No. You expect them to share the game and play with one another. So you see, you serve others with your gift. Now, here's another one. You can't tell someone else what gift they need. Oh, my God, you can see this with some of the miraculous gifts that people are out there saying, you need to speak in tongues. And you need to come over here. I'm going to pray for you because you need to let that tongue loose. Have you ever heard that? Oh, I've had people pray for me and put their thumbs right up here and grab me by the temple. Just, oh, my God, I thought they were going to squeeze my brain out. That I would speak in tongues. Speak, 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 speak. Sorry, I don't have it. But some people think that because they have it, you should have it, or everybody needs to have it. No, 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 no. And we're going to talk about the tongues and everything. Yeah, that gets interesting, I know. I'm giving you just little hints here and there. But you can't tell somebody what gift they need. You know what gift? I'm going to pray for you because you need the gift of mercy, baby. You need the gift of faith because you're always not believing and you're so weak. No, no, no. You can't pray for people. You can't will or pray gifts upon people. They're given by the Holy Spirit. He already gave it to them on birth, at birth, at spiritual birth. You got them. You got to discover them. They're in you. You know what I'm talking about? All right. So it's not your business to be, you know, giving out gifts and stuff. Okay, you're going to have this one. Administration. Oh, my God. Some people love the gift of administration. We'll talk about that in a second, too. All right. So next one. We are not to seek a particular manifestation of a gift. You see, a gift is something that is given, not chosen. If you chose it, then it was just a request. Somebody was just complying with your request. But gifts are something that you get and you go, aw, you got the receipt? That's not exactly what you wanted. No. Well, here's a gift receipt just in case you want to exchange it. All right. What an amazing thing we do. We are so, so, so particular about gifts, right? But God gives gifts as he sees, as he wills, not as you will. You can't ask God to say, I want the gift of mercy. I want the gift of ministration. I want to be a prophet. You can ask him all you want. If he's going to give it to you, he already willed it. He already had it in mind before you even asked, and he's given it to you. If not, don't ask. You're not going to get it. That's the way I see it, because it says that it's him who wills and he gives, and it's a gift. So having a particular gift does not make you more spiritual than others. That's another thing. You can have whatever gift you have from the Spirit, but that doesn't mean that you're more spiritual than others. I see people who say they have miraculous gifts, and they think they're super holy, you know? That they're above and beyond what a normal Christian is. No, no. You know, you can see so many people with great gifts and still not be very spiritual. So that is not true. Just because you have the gifts, that doesn't mean that you're better than others. I found this little thing, and I like it. I'm going to read it for you. Imagine the master's carpenter's tools holding a conference. All of the tools. Brother Hammer presides. But several suggest that Brother Hammer leaves the meeting because he is too noisy.
Brother Hammer replies, if I have to leave the shop, then Brother Screw must go also. Because you have to turn him around and turn him around again and again in order for him to accomplish anything. And Brother Screw spoke up and said, if you wish, I'll leave. But Brother Plain must leave too. All his work is done superficially, you know. His efforts have no depth. To the Brother Plain responded, Brother Ruler must also go. Because if I have to go, he must go, because he's always measuring folks as though he was the only one who was right. And Brother Ruler then complains about Brother Sandpaper. And Brother Sandpaper is saying he ought to leave too. You know why? Because he's so rough and always rubbing on people the wrong way. And so goes this discord among all of these tools. And in the midst of the discussion, here walks the carpenter of Nazareth. And as he arrives, he starts the day's work. He put on his apron and he goes on to the bench to make a pulpit from which the gospel will be preached. And he uses Brother Hammer, Brother Screw, Brother Plane, Brother Ruler, Brother Sandpaper, and all the other tools. And after a hard day of work, the pulpit is finished and Brother Saul came in and said, brethren, I observe that all of us working together with the Lord is good. You see, I don't care if you're Screw or Hammer or Plane or anything. You have your position. You have your place and you have your gifts. You just exercise them. You know what? How many of you have a toaster at home? A coffee maker, a microwave, and a blender and all that? Great. Now, do you ever see the blender fighting the toaster? Do you ever see the microwave saying, I want to be a blender? You see, they all need the same source. They all need the same power, but they all have their own functions. They all have their own purpose. And that's the way it should be. So caution. And the toaster can't tell the microwave, I'm better than you, because they use me every morning. You, sometimes. No, they all have their purpose. Last but not least, when you start understanding your gifts, then two things will happen. You'll be confident serving God, and you will be more committed serving God. But before we go, also, I'd like to point out and go back to the list on the book of Romans, or the letter to the Romans in chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. I'm going to go back over there because I want to show you something, and I want to illustrate this in a way that hopefully you're going to get this very clear. Let's read once again Romans chapter 12. I'm in the wrong chapter. Romans 12, verse 5. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Here we go. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly in prophecy. Check that out. That's one. Prophecy, according to proportion of faith. Service, in his serving. Teaching, then it says in verse 8, exhortation. Giving, leading, and mercy. See, those are seven gifts that are mentioned there. Now, let's do something. Let's just say that you're having a birthday party, right? And you have this great party, and you bake this awesome cake. But it's a surprise party. The cake is sitting in the kitchen, and it's waiting for the birthday boy to come. And finally, when you have everybody there and the birthday boy's there, you send someone, say, go put the candles, light them up, and bring the cake. And the other person goes over and gets the cake. And when they get the cake is sitting on a beautiful platter. I mean, this thing is crystal, and it has a pedestal, and the cake is awesome. All these candles lit up. And the person grabs it by the pedestal and starts coming over, and everybody's, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. There goes the cake, and they drop it, and they're on the floor. There's glass shattered all over, cake all over the floor. The candles are still going, and they're blowing, and there's a big mess. Now, let's just say that there are seven people at that party, and they're all gifted differently, according to this list. And there comes the one with the gift of prophecy. What would he say? Oh, my God, I can tell you,
this person did it again. You see, don't mind. He's just a klutz. All right? He's just a klutz. That would be the gift of prophecy, right? But don't worry, you can get better. Wants to correct, wants to tell truth. You're a klutz. How about the gift of mercy? Oh my God, are you okay? Don't worry, honey, it's going to be all right. Oh my goodness, no, look at you. Did you hurt yourself? Oh my God, poor thing. The gift of mercy. They want to eliminate the shame of the person, right? They want the person not to feel bad about it. Here comes the other person, the one that leads. Okay, let's don't worry about it. Get the broom, please. You get the mop. Go fill that bucket with water. Let's get it done. Come on, we got to clean this place up. Make sure no glass is left on the floor. We got children. We don't want them to get hurt. So come on, people. We can't leave that mess on the floor. You've heard people like that? Don't they make you angry? Yeah, I know. But they got the gift of leading, or maybe they don't, or maybe they just whatever. All right. But their idea is, let's get things done. Move the chairs. Let's get out of here. Come on, let's clean this place up. They take control and they take the lead. How about the person with service? They're on the floor on their knees immediately. Don't worry, I'll help you. And grabs her and says, don't worry. Just go ahead and sit down. I got it. I'll clean it up for you, baby. Don't worry about it. That would be the person with the gift of service, right? I'll pick it up. Don't worry about it. Because they want to cover the need. They want to help out. You starting to see the different gifts here? How they manifest? How about the other one? How about the giving? The person with the gift of giving. Don't worry about it. Hey, come with me. I'm going to the store. I'm picking up another cake. It's going to be bigger and more. It's going to be better. Watch me. I'm going to go pick up that cake. Don't worry about it. I'll buy all the cake you need. Right? The gift of giving. You know, they don't care what it costs, but they're going to get a cake no matter what. All right. How about the next one? The teaching. The one with the gift of teaching. You know, the reason why you dropped that cake, we can learn a lesson from this, right? They want to give you a lesson on how not to drop a cake. That's the gift of teaching right there. How about the person with the gift of exhortation? They're probably saying, see, next time you grab it not by the pedestal, you grab it by the top and with both hands. You get me? You're not going to do that again, right? I didn't think so. The gift of exhortation, maybe a little bit exaggerated. You know what I'm trying to do. But what did each person do at the party? Each one responded according to their motivation, to their internal motivation. That's what I'm talking about. God gives you gifts that are like internal motivation that will help you and that will lead you to act in a certain way in circumstances. That's what the gifts do. You see, What if the person of mercy would have never said anything to that person, would have never said, oh, I'm so sorry for you? What if the person of mercy would have kept quiet? What if the person of service never got on his knees to help out, right? And that's what happens a lot of times in the church. We have people with gifts, all the gifts, but yet they don't want to use them. For whatever reason, you don't use them. Or maybe you haven't discovered them. How many of you saw yourself at the party? At least in one of them. Oh, I saw some of you. I know. Some of you I saw. I can name it, but not right now. Right? So in the next few messages, what we're going to do is we're going to talk more in detail about these. And maybe some of you, can you imagine? You see, we need everybody at that party, right? We need every gift at the church. Can you imagine if all the people at the party had the gift of leading? What kind of fight would it be? You know, like, oh, no. You pick up the mop. Oh, no, hold on, sweetie. I already told him to go get the bucket. Right? And that would have been a big fight, right? So you know what I'm talking about. If it would have been everybody with the gift of giving, everybody would have ran to go get a cake, and nobody would have known that there would be seven cakes then. Right? So it's one of those things. But let me tell you something. When you understand your gifts, then you'll be confident in serving God. You become more confident because now you know what God gave you and you'll use it. And not only that, you'll be more committed to serving God. You'll have a different, even greater joy in when you serve
And when you're at church, at home, or anywhere you are, you need to be looking at your gifts and start developing them and working at them with your whole life.